Welcome to the Wahoo Central Podcast, which, as always, is being recorded in the McHugh Center, which is across the street from John Paul Jones Arena, which is where today's guest does most of his work. For listeners and those watching on Periscope, I'm Jeff White from VirginiaSports.com, and joining me today is Ron Sanchez, associate head coach of the UVA men's basketball team. Ron, welcome back to the big chair.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So how much of the Final Four were you able to bring yourself to watch?
Well, I'm still a basketball fan, and, you know, I actually watched most of the games throughout the tournament. The Final Four, obviously, is the, you know, the height of it all, so I definitely took the time to watch those games.
Did the fact that Virginia defeated both Villanova and North Carolina during the regular season make you even think even more about what might have been? I mean, these are not two untouchable teams you look at and say, well, we can't beat them.
No. You know, I mean, I accepted what happened. And by that point, I was already, you know, kind of in a different place. I was more, you know, as I watched the games, I said, you know, I think that if we would have advanced, I think we would have had a chance to compete well, you know, against, you know, any of the teams that were in there.
How many days did your lovely wife give you to feel sorry for yourself before putting you to work?
I think she gave me one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Virginia reached the Elite Eight for the first time since 1995, but the season, as you alluded to, ended on a painful note with the loss to Syracuse and Chicago. Now that you've had a little time to reflect on the season, how do you think you'll remember this team? How should this team be remembered, do you think?
You know, I think the progress that the unit has made over the last years, you know, because there's no final goal. You know, yeah, everybody wants to win and win big and win the national championship. But, you know, the process is what we enjoy. You know, if you're just waiting for that one moment, then I think you're always going to be disappointed because there are very few of those. You know, you can take the elite coaches that have coached for 30, 40 years and haven't been to a Final Four. Exactly. So, you know, the true enjoyment comes with the quality of kids that you coach, their commitment to the institution, you know, and I think that this group as a whole has done, you know, unbelievable things. You know, I knew that we were going to at some point have some success here. I didn't know when it was going to come, but to see these guys accomplish what they have has, you know, honestly, I appreciate them for it, and I know that it's not something that happens all the time. So this is definitely an enjoyable, you know, experience as we watch these guys exit out of the program.
Was it important for the program, even if you didn't get as far as maybe you'd wanted, to take that step past the Sweet 16 so that does not become this seeming barrier that the program can't get over, you know, to get further than you've gotten before?
Always. I mean, like I said, we all want to get, you know, to that Final Four. Everybody wants to win a national championship. And, you know, when you take it a little further than it had gone before, there is joy in there. When you advance a little further, when your players get recognized nationally, all those things, you know, bring you a level of enjoyment.
Obviously, the momentum shifted in the Elite Eight game when Syracuse started pressing full court midway through the second half. A lot of people seem to conveniently forget that 48 hours earlier, Iowa State had started pressing late in the game, and you know, you'd shredded that press for dunks and layups and dunks and layups. What was the big difference? Was it anything that Syracuse did defensively that Iowa State didn't? Was it just a better press, or did the guys just not handle it as well as they had before?
If you look at those possessions, I mean, we had a turnover in one. We missed a layup in the other. There was a questionable call when Darius was pushing the ball up the floor, whether he got fouled or not, when he ended up I think knocking over Tyler Lydon underneath the basket after they either grabbed his arm or grabbed the ball. So, again, when you have those kind of possessions and the team can go to the other end of the floor, you know, and have an advantage in numbers and they converted, it makes a difference. So the difference was against Iowa State, we converted all those layups, you know, and against Syracuse, we either missed a layup or turned the ball over. And that gave them the advantage on the other side.
What's it like as a coach or as part of a coaching staff to go back and watch a game like that? Do you end up second guessing yourself and the moves, or do you just say, you know, that's the way it happened?
I honestly watched the last 10 minutes right when we got on the plane, which no one else no one else sat near me and wanted to look at it. But I was just curious at what happened. I wanted to see it because we called timeouts and we were doing certain things. And again, I saw the questionable calls, and you know, we could have defended better on the other side. They made some tough shots. They did. I got to give Syracuse credit for that. And you know, again, we missed some point blank opportunities in front of the rim. And they converted on the other side.
People across the country were struck by and impressed with Coach Bennett's comments on TV and at the press conference in Chicago after the Syracuse game. And I guess, those were the comments he made to the players in the locker room. How much do you think that helped the players kind of find peace with that when he was talking about once the disappointment passed, you know, there would be joy in the morning and people would realize, and they would realize how much they'd done.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the post game interactions with the players in the locker room was it was emotional. They did want to advance, and at the same time, some of them came to realize, wow, this is the last time I'm going to put this uniform on. And you know, some of us realized this is the last time I'm going to have a kind of player coach interaction with this athlete. And I don't know if right then and there, you know, it really sunk in. But I think that the next day they were able to maybe, you know, recall those words from coach and feel better about it, because again, they have done, you know, great things for the school.
Leading that, you know, that charge was the senior class, which is probably as accomplished as any class in program history. And in addition to all the intangibles those guys contributed to the program with their leadership and work ethic, they were also incredibly productive on the court. You know, when you look ahead to next season, I'm looking at the final stats now. Malcolm averaged 18 points a game. Anthony Gill, 14. Toby, 7. Mike Toby, 7. And he really came on strong late. I guess the big question is, where do the points come from next year? Is that the big question to be answered in the offseason leading to next year?
Yeah, I mean, I think every year that you lose a class, you're always wondering, how am I going to replace this? You know, when Joe left, you know, who's going to shoot it that way for us? And then Justin stepped up and gave us some of that. And then Justin left, and we're, oh, wow, you know, how are we going to replace Justin? And, you know, somebody else steps up. I think that there's a lot of development that happens between the end of the season and the start of the next season. Your younger guys become a little more mature, both mentally and physically, and you know, become a little more connected to coaches and understand things a little better, become a little more efficient. So, you know, our goal is just to continue to improve year to year. And you know, we do have some guys returning, you know, with London and Marielle and Devin Hall, and I mean, guys with some experience. We got some guys sitting out, and I think those answers will come, you know, in the summer. You know, we're going to go to a European tour and spend some time together and kind of, you know, experiment a little bit with some things. And I think that they are, as a whole, I think we can make it up kind of a money ball type of approach to it.
You mentioned the tour 4 years ago. The seniors, except for Anthony Gill, who had just transferred in, were freshmen on the team that flew to Europe and played games in the Netherlands, Belgium, and France. Mm-hmm. This group goes to Spain in August, where you'll be not only associate head coach, but head translator, I believe. what do you think? Are these trips particularly beneficial when you have a large freshman class, which this team will?
Yes, definitely. And also when you have, you know, guys that need to bond, you know, as much as it is from a basketball standpoint, there's a nice opportunity to develop relationships and
ride elevators together, get stuck in elevators,
things of that nature that I think really help the team, you know, as a whole. They become, you know, more unified that way. I think it definitely helps on the floor.
The two guys who were at practice this year but did not play in games, Mamadi Diakite and Austin Nichols. How much progress did you see from those two over the course of the season, you know, getting integrated into the Virginia way of doing things and playing basketball, and what can people reasonably expect from them?
You know, it's hard.
Next season.
Yeah, well, the focus is usually on the team. You know, those guys get very little attention. You know, we do try to teach them some things. And, you know, when they make a mistake, it's okay. You know, we just move on to the next guy that's going to play. And, you know, they don't get those type of reps. You do, you know, kind of get some individual work. They do a lot of physical development things for Coach Curtis. And they become stronger and, you know, things of that nature. But as a whole, what do we expect from them? Again, it's hard to tell. I can't give it a, you know, a kind of a numeric, you know, type of assessment there. But I think they're live bodies. They're long. They can play above the rim. You know, Mamani is a very good athlete up and down the floor. But again, he's, you know, he'll be a first year, you know, competing for us next season. And, you know, the success from this program has come from upperclassmen. Austin's contribution might be different because he's a transfer. And he's proven
that he can.
He can do some things.
And he can score.
Mm-hmm. So from him, you know, we hope that he can step in and help us.
The five incoming freshmen, right, or four, I'm trying to think. Four. Those guys sign. They commit early, then they sign in November, you know, before they've played their senior years. So you kind of wait and see what happens with them. It seemed like all four of those guys really had strong years. I know Ty Jerome got hurt, which mm-hmm. kind of ended his prematurely. Yeah. But DeAndre, Jay Huff, Kyle Guy, and Ty all seemed to have good senior years. What did you see from them? And I know Kyle made a splash last weekend with his three-point shooting.
Mm-hmm. Well, Kyle's goal, you know, he even mentioned prior to signing with us, you know, he wanted to be a McDonald's All-American. So I think he, you know, he worked really hard to try to put himself in that position, you know, through the summer and, you know, through his season. So I'm, you know, very happy for him. It's always, you know, a joy that comes from a goal accomplished. You know, they're all still, you know, physically immature, young, but they have a skill set. You know, they can shoot it, they can pass it, they can dribble. They are all, you know, all four of them pretty complete, you know, that way. It's not, you know, they don't have, you know, weaknesses, you know, within their game that you know, will not improve with time and physical maturation.
London Parentes will be the only senior on the team next year, which means there's just one scholarship for 2017-18. As you're out on the road recruiting, is it best player available, or are you looking for a specific kind of player right now?
I mean, right now, I think we're still looking for the best player available that one also, you know, will be patient with the program because there are, you know, guys that are going to be upperclassmen in that group. So, you know, the right fit along with, you know, the position, I think right now it's more of the focus.
Coming into the season, Malcolm Brogdon was not even mentioned in most NBA mock drafts that I saw. And now he's consistently projected as a late first round, early mid second round guy. What did he do this season to really raise his stock in the eyes of NBA evaluators?
I think that he was probably the best player, you know, meaning that he was, you know, he played both ends of the floor. You know, he defended the opponent's best offensive player, you know, and even if he started on the best offensive player that was having a bad game and someone else stepped up and was scoring and, you know, kind of impacting the game, he switched his matchup and then, you know, he would kind of shut that guy down from a big guy to a small guy. And then he was very efficient on the offensive side of the floor. He, you know, shared the ball, shot the ball well, penetrated, finished at the rim, created for others. So I think he was, you know, very complete offensively, defensively. And I think the defense stood out the most.
For him to come back for a fifth year and have that kind of season and achieve that personal success as well as team success, is that particularly gratifying for the coaches? Because I know Coach Bennett says this is what could happen. There's no guarantee it will happen.
Yes, no, definitely. And he's a worker. You know, I don't know if I've ever coached a kid with that type of you know, approach. He's so committed to being the best athlete that he can be. That, you know, his success was, it was almost inevitable because he just wouldn't take a day off. And when he worked, he's a hard working kid. You know, he earned everything that he received. None of this was handed to him.
Yeah, I never wrote about it this year, but as you know, Malcolm and London had their post-practice shooting routine, and you know, you see them go through that practice after practice as hard as they work, and it's no coincidence that then you look at the stat sheet and, right. Oh, the two best shooters on the team. Well, they put in the time.
Right. And then he had his pre-practice routine that was very regular with him as well.
So. What about Mike Toby obviously has, you know, ideal size for a big man. Mm-hmm. He finished the year strong. He had an up-and-down career, but what are his pro prospects?
You know, because of his age, I mean, Mike is really young.
Still he's young for 21. His class, right?
His future, Mike could end up anywhere. You know, he could end up being a guy that, you know, lands on an NBA roster, plays in Europe, comes back to the, you know, and play here. But I do think that he will have a long, you know, professional career, whether it's overseas or here or, you know, kind of a mix of the two. But I think that he will play, you know, for a long time because of his age.
Speaking of the NBA, since moving Justin Anderson into the starting lineup, the Mavericks have won five straight, and if the playoffs began today, they'd be in there. What's it been like kind of watching Justin from afar? And people seem really smitten by him in Dallas, which is not surprising.
It is exciting to watch him because, again, you know, he's another kid that put in some time, and this was his goal. To watch him, you know, on TV wearing an NBA jersey and having success, it's you know, it's gratifying because you know you assisted him in that journey. You know, I don't get to watch much. I'm so focused on the college game and our kids that you know, I'll shoot him a text here and there after you give me his stats and you know tell me how well he played. And he's great, you know, at responding and getting back. And we're happy for him and his family that that things are going really well for him.
Final exams begin here about 4 weeks from today. The later you play in the season, the less time there is after the season. Will there be organized teamwork over the next month, or is it just individual?
Yes, no, we will have. We will probably start next week with some individual work, small groups, just again refining things and you know, helping guys, you know, identify areas of weakness and you know, attacking those and just trying to be better. You know, like we always say, you know, the Ben Hogan thing, you know, it's in the dirt. You know, get back to it and just really hammer it out and just try to get better for next year.
I asked you before the ACC tournament about Jack and Jared, you know, neither of whom played huge minutes this year, but with Mike and AG and Evan Nolte gone, that's three post players out of the mix. Big offseason for them in particular?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And, you know, and even, you know, Jack at one point started a few games for us, and I think that experience will help him next year. And Jared got some minutes, you know what I mean? I don't know if we win the Cal Berkeley game without him. You know, he had a great stat line there. And, you know, they got to get back in there, keep working, keep improving. And I think they're very committed kids to that development.
I know you got to get on the road soon, so I'll let you go. But a big day for the program, and particularly Anthony Gill tomorrow.
Yes.
In Charlotte, he gets married to his fiancée, Jenna. As a coach, have you had, trying to think, has there been another player at Virginia whose wedding you've attended or who's been married yet? Is he the first?
He's the first. So I'm going to, you know, drive down to Charlotte tomorrow and make sure that, you know, I got my car running, waiting for him in case he changes his mind. No.
Richie McKay will officiate, right?
Yeah. I think, honestly, this is going to be the biggest wedding party ever. I think he has 10 guys standing, you know, the entire team is going to be there, you know, from what I've heard, you know, so he's got a lot of support from his peers.
And I just read an article online in Seville Weekly, apparently he and Jenna will be wearing Nikes down the aisle. So, well, give him our best when you see him.
Definitely.
And thanks, as always, for your time.
Always.
Safe travels.
Thank you so much.
If you're looking to catch some UVA sports in town this weekend, there's track and field, softball, and rowing at various venues in Charlottesville. For information on those events as well as news about our other teams, visit virginiasports.com. I'll be back next week with another Wahoo Central podcast. Until then, thanks for listening.